Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Levchuk.
Excellent. The weather today, highs of 22 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a mostly cloudy start. I think the clouds are beginning to lift as we speak. A few spits and spots of rain, but mainly sunny spells in the afternoon.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Okay, in the studio, a terrific triumvirate has emerged from the quality quartet that we had in the first hour of the programme, because, as you may have noticed, Chris Usher has left the building. He's been ushered out. Anyway, we still have ace magician David Fox, the fabulous Eva MacDonald, and Professor Scott Davidson. Yay! And online, a graduate of the university before it was the University of Lincoln. How can such a thing be possible, you ask yourself? Well, only because it used to be the University of Humberside. Isn't that right, Keith Tainton, fellow co-founder of Siren FM?
Indeed it is. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Very well indeed. Keith, we've followed your pathway as it's taken you to Osaka, Japan, through marriage, through fatherhood, through a whole heap of other goodies, etc. And now you're based in Derbyshire, although you're actually not in Derbyshire today because you're on vacation. Where are you, Keith Tainton?
I am actually hands-free, driving on the road to somewhere in North Cornwall.
Hands-free, always safe and legal to do so. That's the man, you know, driving through North Cornwall. So, you know, it works on that basis. And can we say mushy-mushy to your family as well?
Yes, you can. She's right here, actually.
Well, there we are. Keith's Japanese wonderful number one soul. That's brilliant stuff. Scott.
That wasn't Japanese, though, was it, by Amy?
It wasn't Japanese at all, but never mind. It's all right. Never mind. We're all connected together. Keith, as we said, back in the day, last century, of course, we helped found Scholars in Radio Entertainment that actually led to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition breakfast show on Thursdays and other shows on Siren, which meant that we built it for Professor Scott Davidson to, you know, generally chill out and relax. Isn't that right, Scott? Because you are indeed now our chairman.
Yes, I happen to be the chairman of the Siren board now.
Exactly.
I don't know why that's happened. I absolutely no idea.
Greatness can suddenly be thrust upon people, Scott, or sometimes people achieve it. It's a combination of those two sort of factors. But you have a chance there, Scott, to quiz Keith as a graduate in the days of communications, first class honours graduate indeed from communications at the University of Humberside, the forerunner of the whole thing. Anything you wish to about the early days of Siren, the websites, how we used to have Keith's morning surprise on the breakfast show, which was very surprising.
Well, yeah, was Siren always based in the building in which it's now located, Keith? Mm-hmm.
No, I think it was in the old radio studio in the site that got knocked down and they put houses up on, so that's all gone now, yeah.
That was back in Hull, of course, before we migrated to Lincoln.
So you were on the Hull campus, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been your next door neighbour at the University of Hull at the time.
Ah, right. Okay, so we might have already met in passing then.
Well, you know that hedge between the two institutions was the great divide.
It absolutely was.
You're either on the Cottingham Road side or you're on the Inglemyer Avenue side. Ne'er the twain could meet, really. It's a different side of things.
Well, it's like Hull FC and Hull KR, you know.
And yet, curiously, Keith, we seem to be almost in a situation whereby in Lincoln these days, with Bishop Gross Test having achieved university status, I know we can say it, etc., it's pretty much to what University of Humberside used to be to the University of Hull, Scott. Would you say there's a sort of similarity there in terms of newbie and various other things?
I think BG has got a different mission.
Yes.
It serves a different population. It has a different offer.
They're not noisy neighbours, Keith. That's the important thing.
Ah, right.
Yeah. But they are part of that great socioeconomic divide between uphill and downhill.
Well, and as I say, Keith, obviously you're one of our part-time tutors as well for a wee while at the University of Lincoln. Yes. You actually shared the journey with me on a regular basis from Hull to Lincoln and back again.
Yes. All of those cabbages.
All those cabbages, and that's not referring in a derogatory sense at all to any of the kind of former undergraduates that we've actually worked through. It's marvellous.
But you can't say you've been to Hull and back.
Well, exactly. The classic was there. David, any questions from yourself for Keith about life, the universe? Because I don't think Keith has ever quite been into magic. Have you been into magic, Keith, or was it just abracadabra and the Steve Miller Band?
I don't very good. But David Blaine, I think.
Yeah.
Is he a real magician? Would you class him as a real magician, or is he more of a charlatan, would you say?
Oof.
No, I mean, David Blaine did a lot in bringing magic back and making it very popular, so it is no coincidence now that magic is so popular because of people like David Blaine, Dynamo, obviously he's a mentalist, Derren Brown has been exceptional, so we do owe a lot to the guys who go on television, and David Blaine did it exceptionally well and continues to do it exceptionally well, so yeah, I do like him a lot. But you're heading down to Como, are you actually going on your holidays? Are you heading on holiday? Or is it? Is
That's right. Are
you?
Yeah, we're standing near Calum. It's been raining quite a lot, so if you could magic up some sun, that would be much appreciated.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, yes.
meteorology and magic, that's what we need to look to ensure that the Tainton family have a solidly enjoyable time in the sun in Cornwall.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Very good. I think they might have gone now completely. Are you there, Keith, or has the signal dropped off? I think the signal has dropped off. There we are. So we didn't have a chance to ask him those last two sort of scenarios. Mind you, it's a magical way in which he actually operated. So I have to say, I was very impressed. Pilots and something else, which you might think, why have they played that one then? Magic. Of course, somebody would have identified that immediately if she was actually on the music mastermind quiz or indeed pop quiz scenario would, of course, be Gemma Joy. Isn't that right, Gemma?
Oh, I'd like to think so. I don't know. I doubt my own confidence sometimes.
I don't know. You can always say.
Officially Gisborough's premier midweek drive correspondent, supermum and quiz aficionado.
There we are. Gisborough's correspondent.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yes, we'll I've through there. About,
quite rightly
I've
so.
About my quiz aficionado status.
Scott, as indeed a citizen of the North East, obviously on missionary duties for the rest of the world, which we appreciate and acknowledge, Gisborough. Does that strike any chords with yourself, Professor Davidson?
Gisborough, Yorkshire.
Yes, exactly.
Almost north.
Almost north, Gemma. Are you going to sit there and take that? You know?
Oh, it's just that I cringed when you said Yorkshire. I don't want to be in Yorkshire. I don't want to be in North Yorkshire. I don't want to be on the scrag end of the fact that Yorkshire doesn't want us. I'd rather be in Teesside. Controversial. I'm a bit controversial there.
But nevertheless, very important. Not on the
it's
scrag end. Exactly.
No, I don't want to be on the scrag end of a county that doesn't want us.
But it used to be absolutely necessary to play for Yorkshire to be born in the county, didn't it? So, and Teesside, I think they still retained that for Teesside when it was in existence.
It keeps changing. Thankfully, I don't think I'm sufficiently skilled to be able to ever play for Yorkshire or indeed any other county. So.
You never know, Gemma.
You never know. I could go for a career change. You never know. I might find a hidden skill that I never had.
Because life continues its own merry way. Of course, the other interesting thing is I actually started teaching Gemma when she was actually pre-university because I was actually doing some material at the Cleveland College of... was it Redcar College in those days? So back in the... I think I did some summer stuff, actually, because I was at the university, but I was doing some summer stuff with your good self. And lo and behold, she then joins the university as a result of that, you know, working in schools and working... Probably there was other reasons as well. But anyway, Gemma, you are a graduate. You have your degree capably in hand. And I did say when you were asking, what should I talk about on the show? The importance of actually having a degree. So, you know, as we sort of head up to A-level results in a couple of weeks' time, and of course the Scottish Highers are out and all the rest of the bits and pieces, why is it important, Gemma, from your own perspective, to have a degree?
I don't know. Sometimes I struggle with this because I think that my degree is absolutely of no relevance to the job I do now.
However,
I think what it does allow you to do is explore what your strengths and weaknesses are and further understand that, which is really, really important in the world of work, or whatever indeed you decide to do in life. And it's just about self-exploration, really, and you know, and deciding where you want to go and you know, what your strengths are. And I think it does teach you a lot of that. And there's a lot of discipline involved, planning. So there's lots of skills that you know, jump across to any chosen role afterwards. But I kind of think it's just a really good rite of passage. However, I think I squandered my student existence, but I think university life is fabulous, and you know, and if people want to have the opportunity to do it, I think they should take it with both hands.
Does that fit with the official line that we take then, Scott?
It does, you know, because what we say about university is that very few people actually end up in the jobs that they think they're going to end up when they start a program at university. I didn't grow up thinking that I'd like to be a deputy vice chancellor, for example. But it's right, it's all those skills that you acquire. And of course, for the most part, people come to university at that really crucial age, between 18, 21 or thereabouts, where you just do so much growing up, you get so many experiences, and all those experiences help form you as a person and give you, I think, a resilience to take forward into life. So, I think absolutely on the nail.
Sorted. Eva MacDonald. Obviously, quite sensibly, take a year out before you head into musical churning and all sorts of other bits and pieces. Gemma was also at the York Maze a wee while ago, but perhaps you'd like to share some details, because I think they're wondering in the Gemma household as to whether she should actually go again. What do you think, Eva? Should Gemma return to this year's York Maze?
I think you should definitely return to the Maze. It was it's a good experience, and there's also other things to add to the Maze. There's the House of Corn Fusion.
The Colonel's House of Corn Fusion, Gemma, which I don't think you've actually experienced.
Love that.
Yes.
No, so it's amazing itself.
Precisely. Yeah. And well worth
checking. Oh, I
thought
it was a Genesis song.
Yes.
Oh, no, Land
of Confusion, not House of Corn Fusion. But it's worth doing. And she would have actually been joining us this Saturday, but sadly she's partying with a friend. Never mind. Gemma, what are you doing now, obviously, to make a living? Because you're working in the pharmaceutical industry, I believe.
I am, yeah. I work for a large pharmaceutical company, and it's my job to visit hospitals around the area in the northeast and make sure that they know how our new treatments work and what to expect, and we help patients get access to new medicines. So it is completely different from what I studied at university.
That was media, culture and communications, of course.
Yeah, never. Obviously, there's a lot of communications involved. Basically, my job involves three things that I love: coffee, driving and talking. So really, I think I'm more than qualified for this position.
Scott.
Well, Gemma, one of the developments at the university that you might not be aware of is our School of Pharmacy.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I actually should have studied.
It was just a time thing, Gemma, that's all. Just a decade or so beforehand, that's all right.
Yes, yeah. we're into our... we had our first intake last year, so they're into their second year now, and there are seven stages to get General Pharmaceutical Council approval. So we're at stage four now. So you'd be most welcome, I think, if you would like to come down and have a chat to our pharmacy people.
And whilst we've been doing that...
That would be great, because it's so important, I think, moving forward with the NHS and the state it's in. I think pharmacists play a massive, massive role and should play an even further role to alleviate some stresses. So I think these are good courses.
Yeah, I think people have a particular fixed idea of what a qualified pharmacist does now. But when you look at they have to help out all the doctors. They have to look at all the contraindications. They now take blood pressure and give injections. So Yeah, they're developing as a profession.
And whilst we've been doing that, I've pulled up a photograph from your return to our sister station, actually, up in Teesside. Yes, it still exists. That Southside Broadcasting course of your good style Gemma, so that David and Scott and Eva can actually sort of check. Oh, that's Gemma Joy making a long overdue return to the Southside studios on Saturday, July the 28th, 2012. A kind of Olympic year, really. Because I've been a gab about 6 or 7 years, and then she found me on Facebook and said, did you used to teach me? And we did. And there we are. Awesome. Just goes to show the power of social media, Scott.
And I like the way you played the long game, you know, by reeling Gemma in and getting her to study here.
Exactly. Do you see what we did there? Exactly. We've always, you know, sometimes you have the short-term repeat, but some people with the magical souls like Gemma, you need to look long-term. That's the important thing. Strategize, that's the whole thing. Gemma, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on the programme today?
I certainly have.
And let's see if you can identify what this little piece of music is. Any thoughts, Gemma Joy?
It's quiet.
Yes.
There's a lot of quiet around here.
A lot of quiet. Oh, dear.
Oh, it sounds like Sting. Is it Sting?
No. It's the Pat Metheny Group, David Bowie. This is not America. Never mind, Gemma. Will you return to take part in your next challenge very shortly?
I will.
Well, actually, said yes on 9:25. He said, "Don't be late, don't be delayed." So we'll wait precisely until 9:25 to get him online. No doubt, baking will be featuring. The Bake Off, of course, is happening. Are we keen bakers, folks? I mean, Eva, are you a baking person?
I'm a keen baker. Yes.
Keen baker. Very good, David.
Unfortunately not, no. But I'm always willing to learn.
Exactly. Yes, and Scott, baking?
No, not my repertoire.
Okay then.
As I do, blues away. It must be love, love, love. It must be love, love, love. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. How can it be that we can say so much without words? Bless you and bless me, baby. Bless the bees and the birds.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
And it's true, and that's why he's off to do an hour and a half with the BBC and other stations. Isn't that right, William Sitwell?
Oh, indeed. What better way to start my day than start off with cascade of interviews with you.
Well, there we have it. And of course, triple triumvirate of wonderment in the studio. We have Professor Scott Davidson, who you've spoken to before, ace magician David Fox, whom you haven't spoken to as yet, and of course, Eva MacDonald. So great stuff there. And Eva MacDonald, there's one part of that sort of little name that actually has a key impact on what William's going to be speaking about. Isn't that right, William? Yes. Is it Eva?
Apparently so.
So, The Guardian and McDonald's, and what you're going to be sort of talking about in terms of service.
Well, yeah, there's a story in The Guardian today. They're reporting that there's a branch of McDonald's, I think it's in China actually, are experimenting we're doing table service. Mm-hmm. The idea being that, you know, these days, shit, I've got a flat tire.
Oh no! He's on the bike, he's cycling, he's suddenly got a flat tire. Oh Lord above!
Terrible news.
Emergency.
Excuse me, I think I swore on
you. Well, I think it was shout, actually. Shout, I got a flat tire. Don't worry. It's okay. Carry on. Yes.
So, basically, you know, eating out affordably is becoming more and more prevalent. And, you know, you can go to a small independent chain or an independent restaurant or a big chain that's not like McDonald's, where you have to queue up for a burger. And because of that, McDonald's have decided that actually, in order to compete, you know, they themselves need to start doing table service, because they realise that, you know, they're onto a bit of a sticky wicket otherwise. You know, in order to sort of seem relevant for the modern age, given the fact that more and more restaurants are becoming affordable, that they'll go out of business, you know, unless they can actually demonstrate a bit more service.
I'm very impressed, William, the fact you're doing this interview while cycling away with a flat tire on your bike. This is above and beyond the call. But very briefly, Professor Scott Davidson, not when we sort of endorse fast food restaurants at the best of times, but do you think table service, would that actually help?
Table service at McDonald's. Mm. I know we've got a much wider choice of eating places now, but I think there might be something fundamental about the offer at McDonald's which would make...
Is that fries with that?
Table service a little redundant.
Having said that, it could impact on the Chinese economy and actually sort of rescue it just at a time when we think China is going a different way. Just a thought. David, thoughts from yourself?
Well, yeah, this is something that I think about a lot, fast food and McDonald's. And it is extremely difficult for fast food chains to persist at the moment with the great health drive and people being more and more conscious about what they eat. And I guess they have to come up with new ideas. So it's interesting to talk about that.
Eva, yes. I know you avoid it like the plague, but any thoughts from your point of view? Does it really not matter?
Well, I have thought about table service at McDonald's before. I can imagine it being there, but I don't really know how it would work. You'd sort of have to do a tester, I suppose.
A tester,
yes. Well, to see how it would run.
Would you have to leave a tip?
Well, it would run. Normal restaurant. Yeah, you'd arrive and you sit at the table and you order from a menu, and they'll bring you whatever you want.
It'd be like
your
Pizza
burger.
Hut then, wouldn't it, really?
It's just like Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut is like a standard restaurant. You know? Yes. Very good ones, by the way. I was in the Pizza Express yesterday. Very good they are, too.
Splendid. Sorry, Scott.
No, I was just going to say, you know, do you go and say, I'll have the Chateau Pepsi 1985?
Don't get William started on snobbishness and wine and being a wine elitist. We've already had 2 weeks on that, and I don't think anything can take much more at this particular stage. Finally, William, with respect to baking, the Great British Bake Off, obviously it's creating great excitement. We're hearing people already having challenges because they're only used to using Argus at home as opposed to actually, you know, using other cooking devices. Do you care, or is it just a case of, well, now we don't have the Olympics, we could at least look at the bake-off scenario?
Well, I appreciate what a great show it is. Personally, I don't, not one I watch, but the people I work with watch it obsessively. I think that if it encourages more and more people to bake, that's great. Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood have become, you know, great heroes of the modern age, particularly Mary. And I think that, you know, it's great people watching these shows. I would love it if they watched them and then did some cooking. So it's a good start.
Well, we've already heard that Eva is a passionate baking person and will be on the case. And just a final little news, last night we launched the career on Siren 107.3 FM, obviously he's got a career elsewhere, of almost the namesake, not Sitwell, Peter Sidwell. Sidwell on Wednesdays.
Oh, yes. Well,
Sidwell.
I've met him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know that man. I've eaten gull's eggs with him.
Well, he never talked about the gull's eggs, to be fair, but at the end of the day, he did say, you know, separated by one vowel, Sitwell and Sidwell. Sidwell, obviously up in Cumbria, Sitwell, Waitrose Food, genius. And, of course, History of Food and 100 Recipes still available. Scott, last two questions, please. Would you like to put them in your own unique, inimitable and perfect Deputy Vice-Chancellor way to William Sitwell.
William, have you had a reasonably acceptable telephonic conversation with us today?
It's been reasonably acceptable. And just saying, I'm actually going to put my bicycle into a cab.
Nice.
And make my way to the BBC. I've given up.
That's the green vote for you. Sorted. Yes.
And if you get your bike sorted, will you speak to us again soon?
I do hope so. How about next week?
Great. We'll go with it. Here's Tiffany. Yay! Or the Midweek Drive Morning Edition if we didn't actually focus on the importance of petrol consumption, fuel and such like stuff. And when a recent report suggested that you can actually cut £24.5 billion collectively from fuel bills, actually on the average saving up to around about £750 a year, we obviously thought this is worthy of further investigation. And to talk us through this and indeed address a whole range of ways in which we can actually reduce our fuel consumption and indeed save funds as well, we're delighted to welcome that fantastic money-saving expert extraordinaire from the Tyneside area, I suspect. That's the fantastic Ashley Swan. How are you, Ashley?
Hi, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very good indeed. Just actually been enjoying Ashley Live Episode 4 from your website. Extraordinary. You know, Ash Live. It's just even the guitarist and the violinist in full force there. But we're not here to discuss the joys of your online material. We're here to focus on this particular campaign, which is basically the result of Go Ultra Low, that suggests that the average cost of fuel, a petrol or diesel car, is around about 12p per mile. So let's go electric, really.
Yeah, exactly. New research from GoUltraLow.com has shown that the costs to run a petrol or a diesel engine are £12 a mile, while an electric vehicle is only 2p a mile. So
indeed,
you're saving £750 a year, yeah, straight off.
For a moment, Ashley, I could actually say £12 a mile. My word, she's changed the whole thing entirely. But I mean, this is something where clearly, even though fuel has reduced slightly, emphasised slightly, over the last few months as the cost of crude oil has kind of moved down slightly, this almost would seem to be a no-brainer. So why is it that people aren't actually saying, well, let's go electric then?
I think people are a bit sceptical, really, and they're worried about charging the car and being left stranded if you run out of charge, basically. But there's so many charge points popping up all over the place now. I even noticed one in my GP surgery car park a few days ago, which I didn't even know was there. And you can get some rapid charge points that can charge your car near full in less than 30 minutes.
Well, this is absolutely vital and really important. I mean, I noticed up in Newcastle, I was up there actually on the way to Morpeth recently. It's nice to see that roadworks are in full force. It's fantastic, you know. But that also leads on in terms of obviously ways in which you can save tips. Even if you don't go electric, there are still certain ways in which you can work through that. And there's a list of 10 tips here. The 10th one, which I must admit I share with your good self in terms of the importance of this, don't actually use service stations to buy your food. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. The price of it is crazy. I mean, we take a packed lunch with us now, but you can see the top 10 tips on GoUltraLow's website, GoUltraLow.com.
Indeed.
And one of my favourite things about the electric vehicle is there's no road tax to pay as well, so you're saving money again.
Well, it's just a win-win situation. And as
exactly,
you said, go,
yeah.
Not just low, but go ultra low. Interested to find, again, one of the other tips that they actually put up is if you're driving the motorway on the motorway with your windows down, you can actually be 20% less fuel efficient, so wind up the windows. Is that all down to aerodynamics?
It must be. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that, if I was quite honest, because I thought having your aircon running would have cost you more.
Oh, exactly.
So there is some really good tips on there.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, I think also cleaning out your boots, making sure you don't carry extra weight. And indeed, as you rightly said, the air conditioning system, the more you actually use it, the more you actually will impact on your costs and so on and so forth. As a mother of three, is it a case of whether you have to pile in folk, etc., and much as you'd like to use the metro, for instance, referring that obviously for our southern listeners, it's a part of Newcastle, which is a great sort of public transport system. You know, sometimes you've got no choice. You've got to get the car out.
Yeah, I prefer getting the car because it's easier with the kids, and you can get free parking with electric vehicles, and pretty much all of the charge points are at the front of the stores as well. So it's great if you've got kids, you don't have to make them traipse across the car park.
So what's converted your good self to an electric vehicle, Ashley? Or have you not been converted as yet? Are you more kind of you're still hesitant? I mean, are you going down that route?
Well, we were a bit sceptical when we first test drove the electric car, and within a day or two, our minds were totally changed. I mean, we absolutely love it, and we're already looking at swapping our car to get an electric car.
Oh, word. Well, you see, that's something you have in common with Tony Blackburn. We were speaking with him about the whole project a few weeks ago. Tony Blackburn and Ashley Swan. Now, that's got to be an ideal routine. Just going back to the video, I think you should both have been wearing matching Ashley T-shirts, actually. I mean, I thought your outfit was very good, Ashley, but probably you needed to have the matching tops there. Just a thought. You know, just
a visual
thing.
Yeah, I'll bear that in mind for the next one.
finally, let's just kind of talk about the GoUltraLow.com website. Clearly, it's a government initiative from that point of view. Is it pretty much a win-win situation? It's good for the environment and it's good for the consumer because obviously it means cheaper fuel costs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're saving money, and who doesn't want to save money? I mean, it's saving £750 a year. It's nothing to be sniffed at, really.
Well, and that's the reason, Ashley, why you're one of the UK's top money-saving tip scenario folk, etc. and indeed, voted one of the top 100 Brits of 2014 in the Daily Telegraph's top 100 Brits survey. We're going to have to go for top 10, actually, though. I mean, let's focus on that to 2015, 2016, Ashley. You know, we've got to get up there, because remember, as a Newcastle-less, you've got to civilise the rest of the country. Just going to say, it's important. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Ashley Swan?
Thank you.
And can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future, possibly with red guitar or indeed violin in tow?
That would be great.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward and other midweek drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
Jessica Ward, of course, is over in the joys of the Isle of Man. She will return, don't worry. But Eva McDonald's been doing a fabulous job becoming a midweek drivette, and, of course, also midweek drivetting today, Professor Scott Davidson and magician David Fox. But Emma Tinson, you're with us now, are you not?
I am indeed. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, there we
on
are.
The morning show,
on
which I haven't done in a while.
Exactly. So. Having done the midweek drama course last night, true to form, being the consummate professional heading into your third year as a journalism student here at the University of Lincoln, and ace midweek drivette, back with us this morning. So what have you made of the production so far then, Emma? Because you've been tuned in, listening to us from your Surrey base, thinking probably too much Newcastle there. I don't know. It's just too much. Right, Pet? I just don't understand what you saw.
You can never have too much Newcastle, Matt.
No, of course not.
I will ask you, Scott, to share that tale with us that you just have in terms of the apocryphal line about the foreign investment in Newcastle. I think that's worth sharing. But we'll say that for a few moments. Anyway, what have you made of the show? Emma?
I think it's been very good. We've had a mix of everything on the show today, so it's been very good. I think Richard's review of Mission Impossible is going to have to maybe make me go and see it, because he seemed very passionate. About it.
Phenomenally so, wasn't he, really? I mean, it was almost as though suddenly he's found his movie, and it's nothing to do with the royal family whatsoever. It is indeed Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible 5, Rogue Nation.
Shocking. Who'd have thought it?
I still think he had a bit of a downer on Ant-Man, but never mind.
Yeah, shame. But no, I think it's been a great show, and I was interested that we've had culinary things with William Sitwell, which is lovely.
And a puncture, of course.
And a puncture. I don't know how he does it. How does he talk on the phone and cycle at the same time?
Well, as he said, he's putting into a taxi. Of course, a little bit of traffic and travel news. I know, Midweek Drive and World Edition, traffic and travel. If you're heading to London, remember, there's an underground strike on. The tube will not be functioning. You will need to do either as William's done and cycle, or indeed use a taxi. But a public service work.
Or walk.
Or stay in Lincoln. That's what we'd say if you're listening on 107.3 FM. If you're listening online where you happen to be, well, stay out of London.
Yeah, and of course his inner tube is no longer functioning.
There you are. Exactly. It's just straight to the point there. There is a moment in time where surely we have to get David together with Scott to actually do the magic show with sort of quitty quips and asides. I think that would work.
That's certainly more mileage there.
Because, of course, Emma, I don't think you've ever actually seen, or have you actually seen David? But you, I can't remember. Were you on the show?
I wasn't here last time, so yeah. I missed out again.
You've been on the show three times. You've been on the show every time. Emma's either been poorly or not in the country or county.
Yes, it's my fault. It's my fault.
Anyway,
I'm very into my magic, so I'm interested to hear a bit more about it.
So go on then, Emma. Take on board the interviewing mantle, and you'll have the opportunity now to quiz the Foxmeister directly.
Okay. Well, David, first of all, I wanted to know: is there any sort of idol that you had growing up that sort of influenced your route into magic?
Well, there's so many fantastic magicians that have influenced me and you continue to do so, Emma. I think, obviously, grew up watching Paul Daniels on television. He's fantastic. Somebody mentioned David Blaine earlier on. I do enjoy watching him very much and Dynamo as well. Is there somebody that you perhaps enjoyed watching? It's always interesting to hear the type of magicians that other people enjoy.
Yeah, well, I love some stuff that's very, very showy, you know, like Penn and Teller and stuff like that, very showy, offy stage show stuff. But I actually find the sort of mentalist side of stuff really interesting as well. And I've seen Derren Brown live twice, I think, and he was fantastic to see live, like in a theatre, literally made it like such an amazing environment. So it was really interesting.
Yes, yeah.
I, of course, realised when David rightly sort of cautioned me after one of his last shows that just simply saying, asking him to do magic and repeat the trick is not a gun thing. In fact, could create disaster and global disasters and proportions if I actually asked him to repeat any of the things that he'd actually done before. But, you know, at the same time...
We could try something, though, really? Emma. Would you like to try just...
We don't
like
want to tip the Earth off its axis here in a cosmic term.
It's OK. If Emma would like, and if you would permit me, Alex, would you like to...
Are you OK with that? Because we have Eva here in the studio, and Emma, you've got yourself there, so are you ready for this? Are you going to involve Emma in this trick and the listener?
Just a very simple
effect
here.
I'm kind of scared now.
Emma. Well, no, it's just because you mentioned mentalism. Now, what I'd like you to do, Emma, just let's say think of a number, and before I do start, I do have a pack of cards.
It's got a pack of cards
in my hand. Does that make sense? And I've just given them a little bit of a mix here. Now, what I'd like you to do, Emma, just think of a number. Let's say between 5 and 15. 5 and 1, 5.
Okay.
Have you've got a number, yeah?
Yes.
Now, most people will go for a two-digit number. Are you thinking of a two-digit number?
I'm not.
Excellent. That shows you're very much your own person. You like to go your own way. You can learn a lot about people and numbers and people. 7.
No.
Is a popular number. But you're far too refined to go for the obvious choice. What number are you thinking of, Emma? And I'm going to show everyone here why in a few moments' time. What number have you got in mind?
Okay, I was thinking of 8.
Thinking of 8. Now, is 8 a lucky number? Is that part of a date of birth or something like that?
No. Literally just out random.
I'm going to deal out 8 playing cards out of the shuffle deck. So we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7.
Two independent witnesses here with Scott and Diva, of course.
And the 8th card is in my hand. Now, there is actually a business card that's been on the table all this time. And it's next to Eva here on my left-hand side. Would you care just to turn the business card over? This one here, actually, next to the coffee cup. Yeah. What does it say on the business card?
7 of diamonds.
7 of diamonds. Now, Eva said 7 of diamonds. And the card in my hand, Scott, what's the card in my hand?
7 of diamonds.
So the 7 of diamonds was the 8th card in the shuffle pack. So well done for going for 8 there, Emma. Well done. I think Emma deserves a big round of applause for that.
Whoa.
And I can stop sweating now as well, Emma. So thank you for that. Yeah.
He's mental, innit?
You know? It's crazy.
And it won't be long before you'll be joining us back again to actually see Scott, David in full action. Whom else would you like to speak to, Emma, in terms of reflections on the show and so on? I've got a couple of minutes now. You can go to, indeed, the number three, technically, in the management chain of the university as Deputy Vice-Chancellor. Would it be number three? Is number two. See, there we are, number two. Exactly. For a moment, I thought...
I was just thinking of a number.
No. Exactly. That would be Professor Scott Davidson and, of course, ace midweek driver. Because I think we're awarding you the position of honorary midweek driver. Oh, indeed, full-time midweek driver. Whichever you want to add to, obviously, the HEA. You know?
Well, I love doing this. I'm not sure I'm any good at it, but I love doing it.
Or, indeed, Eva, who do you wish to go to, Emma?
Let's have a chat with Eva, because she's so lovely.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
So, what have you been up to lately in Lincoln?
What have I been up to? At the moment, not very much.
Having just got back from the Grand Canary, yeah, but that's okay. Yeah.
Not enjoying the weather, I can say.
Oh, indeed. Of course, it's cloudy today. I don't know if it's the same in Lincoln, but down here it's pretty boring,
no,
to be honest.
No, it is cloudy here, yeah.
Mostly cloudy with a few spots of rain, but sunny spells in the afternoon. There we are. Weather
forecast
always
to
hand. Of course, it'll be sorted through on that basis. Hopefully, as Eva will be joining us for maybe another location report at the York Maze shortly.
Maybe, yes.
Sort of system, which is always great as the maze continues to grow. And, of course, we've got the Dunnington Show that's there. Quick mention for an adult tricycle. If you know of anybody who's got an adult tricycle, then our countryside correspondent, Minty Steed, would like to have one for one of her colleagues who is not fit enough as yet to actually use a full bicycle, but a tricycle could actually help us sort of engage in that. So we've got an adult tricycle, and just let us know. We'll contact that studio@sirenonline.co.uk. I'm sure we can chase it up. David, would you like to ask those last two questions to Emma Tinson, please?
So, Emma, have you enjoyed your time with us today?
I have indeed. I've enjoyed my magical time on the Midweek Drive.
Fantastic. Will you be coming back in the future?
I think I will.
Heads up from the World of John Wenham's events guide. If you're interested in going to Hart's Home Country Park this Sunday, the 9th of August, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m, there's a family fun day taking place where you can celebrate the many ways in which the park can be used at the annual fun day. Visitors can take part in a number of different events and activities which are suitable for the whole family. Some small charges for certain activities, but in general free at Hartsome Country Park. That's from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. this Sunday, the 9th of August. Scott, I did suggest when Emma was online and possibly still listening that we'd have that little tale of foreign investment in terms of Newcastle and factories and so on, in light of the fact that not only with your good self, we've also had Arthur McKenzie from Newcastle, and of course Ashley Swan, Swan Hunter technically, also there from that point of view. So Scott, we'd like you to share this little narrative.
Well, it was a story about when ships were still built on the Tyne.
Swan Hunter.
And the story had it that a group of Japanese industrialists came to the Tyne to see how ships were built, because they had a very good reputation. And they were large ships as well. The first 250,000-ton tanker was built on the Tyne. And the group came. They were very, very impressed by what they saw, and they returned home to Tokyo, and they explained how good Geordie shipbuilders were to their boss, and they said, not even do they build excellent ships, they even speak our language. And their boss looked a little nonplussed, and he said, they speak our language. And one said, yes, one of the workers dropped a tool and he shouted to his friend, "Hey, hoya hammer over here."
Exactly.
Which probably needs translation.
Hoya hammer over here. Mm. Exactly. Marvellous.
Yes, I say, dear chap, would you please throw a
precisely
hammer
over cast it in the general direction of the whole sequence. Thanks certainly to Richard Fitzwilliams, Arthur McKenzie, Keith Tainton, Gemma Joy, William Sitwell, Ashley Swan, and of course Donna Spriggs, Elliot, Alec Rickard, and Nicolette Bosworth, and you, dear listener, for being with us. Thanks earlier for Chris Usher for joining us for the first hour of the programme. Eva, have you enjoyed the programme?
I have indeed, thank you.
And David, okay for yourself?
As always, been lovely to be here. Thank you, Alex.
Got us, it worked for you?
It's been a ball. Thank you very
much.
Magic's
still
Alex.
There, then, is it?
It is indeed.
Splendid. Great stuff coming up on Siren as the day proceeds, of course, coupled with, of course, Sound and Nick's Vision returning this evening at 7 o'clock after drive time. That's it. We're out of here. Thanks to Professor Scott Davidson and Eva McDonald and David Fox. Can we all say farewell, bye-bye, happy trails, or auf Wiedersehen, pet? Yeah. A one, two, three.
Goodbye. Bye.